Look, this is the big picture. I would argue, and many other Bitcoiners that I respect would also argue, that we've probably reached the state-level attack on Bitcoin. And if anything, that's what FTX may have been. So I met Sam back in 2021. There was a conference, a Bitcoin conference in Miami, and there was a little boat party that I went on, and I had a quick chat with him. And at that point, I had absolutely no idea who he was. He was this like weird guy that was sitting there eating like all the hors d'oeuvres, and I had a quick chat with him. And some dude told me, he's like, "Oh, he's the guy who owns FTX." And I said, "What's FTX?" And they said, "Oh, it's the fastest growing crypto exchange in the world." And I was like, "Fuck, I've never heard of this shit." And the guy came out of nowhere, basically. Never heard of him before 2020, 2021 may have heard of him somewhere, and then out of nowhere came, the second biggest exchange on the planet. And to me, what that means is that, he was obviously funded by someone. I mean, as we've seen, there's, money laundering, there's all this stuff, money to Ukraine. I mean, I've got one here where, he was giving $20 million to COVID researchers. He was on a panel that was supposed to be upcoming with Zelensky, with Zuckerberg, with Janet Yellen. So these people are all part of the same little cabal. And the big picture thing to take out of this is that this vindicates the reason that Bitcoin exists, not crypto. There is a massive separation between those two. There is Bitcoin that lives here, which is money that no individual, no state, no institution, no corporation, no FTX, that nobody can touch. Bitcoin exists as money that allows people to save, immune from government confiscation, immune from inflation, immune from taxation, immune from all of the things that normal traditional fiat money is not immune from. Now, what happens is all these crypto people have popped up, whether it's Ethereum, whether it's Solana, whether it's FTX, whether it's Binance. All of this crap is a distraction, kind of like what you said about the sex tape. It's a distraction to get people to not understand what Bitcoin is.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have never done anything like this before at InfoWarsStore.com. But as a thank you to our great audience supporting us over the years through thick and thin, we are giving away a free gift. That's right, a free gift with every order right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Good till December 1st.
I'm now joined by Alex Savetsky. And he is the author of the communist, rather the uncommunist manifesto. He covers crypto, Bitcoin, and he wants to come on to get into the latest with the FTX scandal. Here's some of the recent headlines. Senator Josh Hawley demands correspondence between federal officials and Democrat Party leaders following FTX collapse and why the scheme was only revealed after the midterm elections. FTX, Tether, the CIA, drug cartels, money laundering in the Ukraine. And then I'm telling you, I think this is the one that's going to be used to distract us. Freaky FTX Sam Bankman-Fried and his girlfriend Caroline Ellison had unusual ideas about group sex. Yeah, folks, it wasn't just ideas, okay? And look, I don't want to be the one to reveal this because I just don't want to be the one to reveal it. But the fact that they're not making a bigger story out of the weird sex stuff and orgy stuff that they were doing tells me that they're holding that back. And so whenever the real crimes and money laundering and stuff is revealed, then they're going to distract you with the shiny object in their left hand and say, "Oh, did you know they were having orgies? Hey, look, here's a naked picture of Caroline. See? Oh." It's all already out there and they don't really want to push that. It tells me they're intentionally holding it back. So, Alex, you cover crypto, Bitcoin, you're following the FTX story. I mean, we've got a lot of the details. I think the picture is becoming pretty clear to me on this scandal. So why don't you just talk about the big picture here, what you think this is all about, and with all the information we have, what is the conclusions that you've reached as far as the FTX scandal is concerned?
Owen, thanks for having me on. It's good to be back on InfoWars. Look, this is the big picture. I would argue, and many other Bitcoiners that I respect would also argue, that we've probably reached the state-level attack on Bitcoin. And if anything, that's what FTX may have been. So I met Sam back in 2021. There was a conference, a Bitcoin conference in Miami, And there was a little boat party that I went on, and I had a quick chat with him. And at that point, I had absolutely no idea who he was. He was this like weird guy that was sitting there eating like all the hors d'oeuvres. And I had a quick chat with him. And some dude told me, he's like, oh, he's the guy who owned FTX. And I said, what's FTX? And they said, oh, it's the fastest growing crypto exchange in the world. And I was like, fuck, I've never heard of this shit. And the guy came out of nowhere, basically. Never heard of him before 2020. 2021 may have heard of him somewhere, and then out of nowhere came, you know, the second biggest exchange on the planet. And to me, what that means is that, you know, he was obviously funded by someone. As we've seen, there's, you know, money laundering, there's all this stuff, you know, money to Ukraine. You know, I mean, I've got one here where, you know, he was giving $20 million to COVID researchers. He was on a panel that was supposed to be upcoming with Zelensky, with Zuckerberg, with Janet Yellen. So these people are all part of the same little cabal. And the big picture thing to take out of this is that this vindicates the reason that Bitcoin exists, not crypto. There is a massive separation between those two. There is Bitcoin that lives here, which is money that no individual, no state, no institution, no corporation, no FTX, that nobody can touch. This is why people like Sam, they were always bashing on Bitcoin. They're always saying it's shit, it's slow, all the crap that they say.
And they didn't, and correct me if I'm wrong here, and just so you know, we're on terrestrial radio, so we can't curse. It's okay, but just we can't curse on terrestrial radio. But FTX, they weren't actually doing any Bitcoin transactions, right? I mean, they were not working with Bitcoin.
No, they're an exchange. So they allow people to trade. So these things are designed to basically get people somewhere to gamble. That's completely the opposite of why Bitcoin exists. Bitcoin exists as money that allows people to save, immune from government confiscation, immune from inflation, immune from taxation, immune from all of the things that normal traditional fiat money is not immune from. Now, what happens is, all these crypto people have popped up, whether it's Ethereum, whether it's Solana, whether it's FTX, whether it's Binance. All of this crap is a distraction, kind of like what you said about the sex tape. It's a distraction to get people to not understand what Bitcoin is. Because the thing that the establishment fears the most is a people who have their wealth intact, whose wealth you cannot confiscate from them.
Yeah, and you know, this is more important. Because here's the problem that I think sometimes... And it's not any fault of their own, because it's a relatively new concept, a financial concept for people to understand why people support Bitcoin. And this is why my big problem with the Bitcoin community talking about whether it's worth 6,000 or 60,000, you're doing yourself a disservice, because it shouldn't matter whether it's worth 60,000 or 6,000. That might be a nice promotional thing for people to look at it. But at the end of the day, people need to understand it's a decentralized currency. It's all about getting government, getting central bankers out of the transactional process. So it's like, let's say you've got one stack of cash. You've got two stacks of cash. You've got one stack of cash here. You got one stack of cash here. And you say, okay, you get to pick which stack of cash you want. And you're like, okay, but hold on. This stack of cash is going to be controlled by a bunch of other people, and they're going to tell you how to spend it, where to spend it, how much you can spend of it, and they're going to take a little off the top every transaction. This stack of cash over here, you just take it, you do whatever you want with it. Well, which stack of cash are you going to want? You're obviously going to want that's not going to be oversought, and it's not going to have the taxing and all of it on it. And so that's kind of, when I try to explain the concept of Bitcoin, and I'm not a big Bitcoin supporter, I like decentralized currencies, absolutely. But that's the big issue that people need to understand. That's why the state's attacking it. To get back to where you're at, that's why Bitcoin is under attack. That's why cryptocurrency as a concept is under attack, because the central bankers and the big governments need that control over the monetary policies, need that control over the money. Otherwise, they can't really enslave us anymore.
Well, this is why they're pushing for CBDCs. If for those who don't know what that means, it's central bank digital currency. Now, the easiest way for them to launch CBDCs is actually going to be to partner with an institution or a foundation or an organization that is running a current cryptocurrency. The most likely one, in my mind, is going to be Ethereum. There's probably some other ones like, you know, Cardano and this and that that the government and the state is most likely to partner with. But this is why I always differentiate for people Bitcoin versus crypto. They are unrelated. Crypto is just digital fiat. That's it. And it's got far more in common with the US dollar or the euro or the Australian dollar or the yen, or you name the government issued, coin, whatever you want to place in there. So it's important for people to realize sovereign money and not feeding your jailers is actually how you fight back. So when we talk about, just I want to also mention the piece that you said about the Bitcoin price. Now, money is supposed to, like, if you think about what money represents the collective product of society, right? It represents the time, the energy, and the natural resources within a society. And money is a technology or a tool that enables people to do a couple things. Number one is store that product, that value, transact that product, that value, and measure that. So it's kind of like a language of value. So when you think about that, you can't print time, you can't print energy, and you can't print physical resources out of nothing. So these things are all fixed and finite in nature. So a perfect money would also be fixed and finite in nature. And that's what Bitcoin is. Bitcoin is kind of like this perfect money that is fixed, it's immutable, you can't change it, and nobody can change the rules. In the same way as nobody can change time, nobody can change energy, nobody can change natural resources. This is what the establishment is most afraid of. And this is why they support, whether it's crypto, they'll support Ethereum, they'll support things like FTX. When FTX blows up, everyone freaks out and they think the problem is Bitcoin, when the problem is what's happening here. That's why I say it's an attack on Bitcoin specifically, as is all of crypto.
Well, let's get into that on the other side of this break, because I do think this was an organic takedown of FTX. I don't think the deep state had origins of taking this down. Why would they? They were laundering so much money. But as we know, communists don't let a good crisis go to waste. So of course they're going to use this to attack crypto. Eventually Bitcoin is going to be their biggest shark. But I feel like they're kind of not, they're treading lightly on the Bitcoin ground right now, because they know Bitcoiners are really good advocates for crypto, and so they don't want to anger you guys too much, I've noticed. Alex Svetsky wrote the Uncommunist Manifesto. You got to like that. Got great reviews. You can read it for yourself, find out why. And we're talking crypto, FTX crash, Bitcoin, and everything else. And so you got into the state attack on Bitcoin. You mentioned that in the last segment. Now, to me, from my perspective, I think that this collapse was organic. Now, maybe at some point in time, they did plan on writing SBF and FTX out as their controlled collapse to eventually go after crypto. But I think at this point, it was organic. I think the Binance guy calling SBF out was organic. And then the response has basically been the old, as you know, communist response, don't let a good crisis go to waste. So of course, with it all crashing down, they're trying to take control of it. Do you agree with that analysis? Do you agree with me that this was an organic fallout? Or do you think this was a controlled fallout from the very beginning?
No, it was. So to clarify, I think FTX was a state-sponsored actor, but I think the collapse 100% was an organic thing, because they had no money on the balance sheet. Like, so all that had to happen at some point was the leverage to crush them. Simple as that. Like, it was the same thing that happened in 2008. You know, there's only so much you can basically, you know, play Icarus, right? You jump off a cliff, you think for the first 3 seconds that you're flying, and then gravity catches up and you're gone. So, you know, on a longer time scale, FTX was certainly a state actor, or at least, I shouldn't say certainly, seemingly a state actor, because of the way he came out of nowhere, you know, $36 billion company out of nothing. That just doesn't happen magically.
Let's point out the obvious too. I mean, Bankman-Fried and Caroline Ellison are both deeply tied to top political activists. They're both deeply tied to the Democrat Party. I mean, there's no denying that.
Yeah. So, but the collapse, I think, was, as you said, organic. Now, the thing is, my guess was the state-sponsored attack component was that they would have known that this would fall over at some point, because you can't just, you know, create $36 billion out of thin air and think that it's going to last forever, right? So, you know, if you're an intelligent state actor, for example, you do this, you'd find a way to funnel basically $10 billion from someone else's pocket, funnel it to whatever you want to, launder it. And then when you know it inevitably blows up, you've got, you know, two prime candidates to throw under the bus, number one. And number two, you've got a scapegoat that you can blame, which is Bitcoin. And then they'll say, oh, but we need regulation, you know, so that way they can tie people up once more to stop them from being able to buy Bitcoin as much as possible. I mean, but the thing is, you know, as we know, the government's great at stopping things. Not, you know, they couldn't stop alcohol, they couldn't stop weed, they couldn't stop anything. So the last thing on the planet they're going to stop is some code. So it's going to backfire them in the long run. But I mean, you know, unfortunately, this is just going to scare off some people who think that the problem was with Bitcoin, not with decentralized platforms.
Well, Bitcoin investors like that because the price gets lower for them, and that's when you feel bullish.
Totally.
Now, you had mentioned you had met SBF. I guess it was at a crypto event you had met him. And look, you know, I want to be clear on something here because I'm getting some pushback and flack from this. Folks, I'm not trying to be inconsiderate. I'm not trying to be what's the word that I'm looking for here? When I talk about SBF and Caroline Ellison having learning disabilities or being on a autism spectrum, again, I don't say that to be rude or that you know, I'm uncaring towards those people. That's not the case at all. But I think it's important to point that out because what I think was going on here, and it's a sad thing to have to face, I think that these two were used to be the fall guys. Like you said, it's the perfect fall girl, perfect fall guy. Maybe don't really fully understand what they're getting into. They're young, you know, maybe have a learning disability, maybe on the autism spectrum, not really know what's going on, but flush with all this cash, putting all this power, told by people in powerful positions, hey, it's all going to be great, it's all going to be good. And then it all collapses around them, and somehow Sam Bankman-Fried is still running around. He hasn't even been arrested. So I'm not saying that to be insensitive. I think it just shows how this whole thing was a money laundering operation from the very beginning, and SBF and Ellison were just put into these positions to be the fall guys and girls.
You should see a tweet that I put up earlier today, which is, you know, that death tweet where he's like going through each door and like, you know, killing a new head. You know, so you had Do Kwon, who was the one who blew up that stablecoin. Then there was Alex Mashinsky, Celsius, which all the Bitcoiners warned against. Now there's SBF. Who else looks and feels and sounds similar? Vitalik from Ethereum. There we go. That's the one. So it's the same archetype, same kind of person, you know, same kind of, you know, they select them because they look like the Wonder Boy. You know, they're either on, you know, the Asperger spectrum or the autism spectrum.
There's a physiognomy. You know, there's a clear physiognomy.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So people that think that, you know, Ethereum and all these sorts of things are different, they're in for a rude surprise. I had a train of thought before just about the fixed supply money that I mentioned. And I just wanted to sort of give people, I wanted to tie that example off before we go down another path. But this is just for people to take this away, because I know listeners of this show would be probably very bullish things like gold, because, you know, it's been money for thousands of years, and we you know, it's an established form of monetary unit. But think about this. The first people who discovered gold, while the rest of the world was still using a mixture of salt and seashells and glass beads and other things like that for money, imagine what the value of gold was at that point in time. You could have found a big nugget of gold and you wouldn't have been able to buy anything with it because gold was valueless in the beginning. Now, what's important to note is that the reason gold emerged over thousands of years as the number one money, that civilizations from all around the world, you know, independently selected as money, was because it had superior properties for use as money. It was recognizable. It was extremely durable. It's the only inert metal on the planet that is inert at room temperature. It is extremely portable. It is very scarce. You can't just, you know, make it up out of thin air. You know, the alchemist's dream of, you know, creating basically, you know, soil into gold. So it had all these attributes which meant that the whole world converged. And this is actually what appreciated the purchasing power of gold over about 5,000 years. So what people need to think of, this is the edge with Bitcoin, is that it is going to do what gold did in 5,000 years, maybe in 50. It'll monetize every single, like it'll suck the excess monetization in every other asset class on the planet into itself as the entire world starts to look for a place to store the product of their labor, to store their savings. They want to put it in a place that is safe, secure, and has the ultimate properties where you can store money, can't be inflated, you can send it to whomever you want, and you can accurately know your proportion in relation to the whole. You can't do that with any other money, especially not some other, you know, altcoin. So it's just important to note, and I wanted to just tie that loop.
Close up on that. On the other side of this break, Alex Savetsky, author of The Uncommunist Manifesto. We'll be right back. All right, finishing up here with Alex Savitsky. Again, the book, The Uncommunist Manifesto, is his book. And then also, we'll figure out where you can follow him for all of his other crypto coverage, connecting dots that because I don't really follow the crypto stuff. I mean, obviously, the FTX SBF thing has gone well beyond the realms of crypto. But to see the other cryptocurrencies that might collapse next and that long line that he showed in the last segment was certainly interesting to me. So final segment here, Alex, what else do people need to know? What do you think is going to be the final conclusion of the FTX SBF scandal? Why has nobody been arrested yet? I guess I would lead you into it like this. In any other situation, when you have a money laundering operation like this, you would have at least one arrest, detainments, questionings, and you'd probably have at least one person sitting in a jail with a bail set at probably $10 million, maybe more dollars. None of that has happened. Nobody's been arrested. Nobody's been detained. Nobody's been brought in for questioning. And my theory is eventually they're going to come out and they're going to say, well, because people are going to be outraged. I mean, he's supposed to speak at a New York Times event in 9 days now. I mean, that's a joke. And they're still promoting it, too. They haven't even taken him off as the scheduled speaker. So I think what they're assuming at this point is that people are going to be so outraged that this crook is still out there and hasn't been arrested. And then they're going to come out and they're going to say, well, we can't do anything. There's no regulation on crypto. There's no regulation on digital assets. So if you want us to do something, you're going to have to get us to pass this law, and it's going to be a huge sweeping bill. Nobody's going to read it. And then all of a sudden, that's when, as you said earlier, the state attack on Bitcoin will commence. So your thoughts on that in conclusion here with us today.
I mean, you basically laid it out. I think I'll give you an example. So there was a guy who got arrested who was a developer. And all he did was build a protocol that you could take. It was similar to CoinJoin. So in the Bitcoin space, there's protocols like Wasabi and Samurai and Whirlpool that allow you to basically get multiple Bitcoin inputs, put them together, and split them out on the other end. It's called CoinJoin. And what it is, it's a way to enhance your privacy. So like, let's say you've got a bunch of people who all have different amounts of money, and they put all their money into, like they get all their change, chuck it all in one pile, and then on the other end, pick out the same amount of money that they had, but now it's all mixed up so you don't know whose coins are what, right? So it's a privacy enhancing thing. Now, the government, the state will tell you, oh, that's bad, that's money laundering or whatever, but no, it's just, I like to be private with respect to what my money is, and that it's my right to be private. Now, there was a guy who built a protocol called Tornado Cash, which was purely that. It was like it was basically like a CoinJoin style implementation. Now, he didn't help anyone do anything. He just wrote some code and he got arrested. He didn't do nothing. He didn't take any money, didn't steal any money, didn't, you know, tell anybody what to do, didn't make any promises, didn't launder anything, nothing. He just created a protocol and he got arrested. This guy went and like literally frauded and nothing. So, I mean, when you ask me what's the conclusion to all of this, him, I have no idea. You know, God knows what excuse they're going to make, you know, whether he's also going to hang himself like Epstein did or whatever the case is. is beyond me. At this point, nothing surprises me. But as you said, the issue is going to be the amount of regulation they're going to try and create. Now, here's the thing about regulation. The people who write the regulation are the ones who create the loopholes for themselves, right? That's effectively what it is. Like, you know, people who are stupid think that regulation somehow helps the little guy, but it's actually the opposite, because the way to help the little guy is to increase competition. So we actually, Mark and I discussed that in the book. We say that capitalism, natural capitalism, doesn't need regulation and doesn't create monopolies, because in a naturally capitalistic environment, what ends up happening is that all the small competitors eat away at the large player. And in the absence of a state that can help the large player build a moat, the large player is not agile enough to compete against 100 small players who eat around at them. So, you know, all the stuff that we have today, like, you know, the big tech companies that, you know, own 25% of the stock market, the big banks, et cetera, these are all a function. They're all downstream of the existence of a monopoly on violence and monopoly on the creation of money, which is the central bank and a central federal government. So they're going to want to create regulation. They're going to want to have their friends basically be the only licensed institutions to enable you to buy Bitcoin. I think they're going to have a hard time, though, doing that, because the challenge is that unlike a local or a domestic industry, Bitcoin is available to buy globally, internationally, in person, on the internet, here, there, everywhere. So it's going to be very difficult to kind of like try and suppress that. So I think they're going to have some challenges. I think they might make it harder for some people. But this is where individuals, who are the people that I want to see holding Bitcoin, not the institutions, need to educate themselves. Instead of, you know, sitting around, you know, watching Netflix or anything like that, go read about Bitcoin. Understand how Bitcoin works from a technical perspective. Understand what money is. Read the history of money. Go check out Saifedean's book, the Bitcoin Standard. Like, educate yourself on these things, because an educated, intelligent, wealthy citizenry are very hard to suppress. So that's kind of what I would say. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't have a direct answer on what's going to happen with FTX or SBF.
Now, I'm not the big crypto expert, but I would guess that theoretically the total adaptation of Bitcoin is what would be considered the ultimate success. And so wouldn't then in this time period they would want to deter people from buying into Bitcoin as a potential to replace the fiat currency?
Totally. So by doing this, by freaking people out and the price falling, what happens is that, you know, there's less quote unquote adoption. The interesting thing though with Bitcoin is that, see, people like me and the millions of other people who are understanding Bitcoin, what happens during these times, and this is where Bitcoin, if you look at the chart over the long term, it creates a new price floor every couple year cycle, right? Is that as you take Bitcoin off the exchanges, so when I buy some Bitcoin, I put it onto my cold storage wallet, I lock it up, and not even God can touch my Bitcoin. It's safe, it's sound. And I recommend people go and study and learn how to do that, how to move your Bitcoin off exchanges and into your own custody. When you do that, there is less available Bitcoin on the market to be sold. And what that does is it creates the floor for the next upleg. And that's literally what happens every single cycle, is that a new group of people come in who have finally understood. They're like, holy crap, now I see how much of a stupidity crypto is. I see, you know, last time it was ICOs that blew up, and there was DeFi, there was JPEGs and NFTs, and every single cycle something blows up, right? Then a small portion of those people come out the other end and they're like, oh, now I understand why Bitcoin. And then they take what they have left and they move all their Bitcoin off exchanges. And that's what's happening. If you look at the actual charts of what's happening with Bitcoin, is that Bitcoin's coming off exchanges and going into cold storage. That limits the supply and it sets the base for the next run up. So what smart people do now is that they accumulate. They accumulate, they accumulate, they accumulate, and they get the benefit on the next run up. So yes, you know, in the short term, it hurts. But in the long term, this is one of the best things to have happened.
All right. Alex Savetsky, thank you so much for joining us today. Folks, check out the book, The Uncommunist Manifesto. I think we can all agree with that. Get the dirty commies out of our money supply. And if that means having to adopt Bitcoin, then we'll just do that.
Thanksgiving 2022 is here. And I wanted to give thanks for all the viewers and listeners that have kept InfoWars in the fight over the years. The New World Order, their globalist controllers, absolutely hate our guts because they hate your guts. They want to break your will. They want to dominate you. They want to take full control of you and your family and your friends' destiny. But because of independent media outlets that tell the truth and fight for human liberty, like InfoWars, that wear our bias of freedom and justice and America and God and family on our sleeve, we have a real fighting chance against the globalists. But that is only because of your tireless dedication and your support of InfoWars. So again, I'd like to thank you all for your support, and I give thanks for your dedicated prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at InfoWarsStore.com. And we make it easy to financially keep InfoWars and our media operations and our documentaries and our reports on air with high-quality products at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, you'll notice when you go to the site that basically everything's on sale between 40 and 60% off. But many things are starting to sell out, like our great Wake Up America coffee that's award-winning, and X3, and so many other great products have now sold out at InfoWarsStore.com. X2 is sold out. Vitamin Mineral Fusion is close to selling out. DNA Force Plus is close to selling out. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula is close to selling out. All 40 or so InfoWars Life products that are excellent are about to sell out. But despite that, we're keeping them on sale because we need the funds to operate, and because I want those of you that have never experienced the products particularly to go ahead and take action and go to InfoWarsStore.com and experience what these products do for you and your family. So start with Vitamin Mineral Fusion and DNA Force Plus right now, up to 60% off with promo code 1776 at InfoWarsStore.com.